I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Publics Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Joel, please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, justice, and all.
Now, before we call the roll, we're going to have a resolution appointing the clerk.
So moved.
That's Resolution 69-2011, as moved by Councilman Higgins and seconded by Councilwoman Gleba. Any discussion on that?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Then I would ask the clerk to call the roll.
Gleba?
Here.
Jewell?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Okay. Purpose of our meeting tonight is to interview two candidates for forensic audit. That would lead us right into our executive session, which is Resolution 70-2011.
Mr. Mayor, before we move that resolution, I would like to make a motion that we allow Robert Bellelba of the Concerned Citizens Group.
Is he here?
I don't know.
Okay.
when he does arrive, that he'd be allowed in to the executive session with the full and complete understanding that he has to abide by the same rules that we are under the Sunshine Law.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that? There he is now.
There he is now.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. Okay. Hearing no discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay. I move the resolution to go into executive session then.
Okay, before we do that, just for the record, Bob, since you just walked in,
yes.
You're going to be allowed to sit in on the executive session.
Uh-huh.
After council has had any opportunity to ask their questions, if you have a question or two you'd like to ask, we'll permit that, time permitting.
Thank you.
Just so you're aware. It is executive session. Anything that is said in here stays in this room. You cannot discuss it with anybody outside. I'm just putting that on the record.
Okay, if I have any clarity, I'll ask.
Okay, and you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear.
Okay.
If you would invite Mr. Schneider in, please.
So moved.
Second.
I thought we did it.
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, that's right, we did the other one, not the resolution for the executive. Thank you very much.
Rosa, how are you?
Did you have any chicken soup or not?
How you been?
Oh, good.
How you doing?
That's Jewel. Then I'll take a couple of days.
Yeah, you
is everybody liking the book club?
Hey, 20, right? That's it.
Why you decided to do it just on the Saturday, sweetheart, not both days. It feels so too much for guys. So, I'll do Josh. Josh can contact us, so I need to let you know ahead of time. Okay? You got it. Yep. No, no problem, Danny.
I think it's coming up. And people are now responding to it. I think. be less.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have already started our meeting. We began at 6:30, so we've done the statement of public notice and roll call and pledge of allegiance and all that, so we'll just continue on with our business. First up, we have our minutes. The minutes of the regular meeting of March 1st, 15th, and the budget workshop of March 10th.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of all three dates that you just said. Can we do it that way?
Sure.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of them?
Yeah, I have one correction. On the minutes of March 15th, page 3, municipal budget discussion, I can leave the second paragraph, SUV proposal for the Washington Township Police. I did bring that up as well, and wasn't mentioned in there.
Okay.
Okay. I thought I seconded that, but I guess they put the squeeze down as that.
There may have been multiples on that.
That's fine. Yep.
Okay.
That's the only thing I have.
Anything else?
I have one. On March 10th, page 2 for the planning board. I believe the full amount that Ms. Fies, it was $4,100. And that's not the exact dollar amount, but it's approximately $4,100. Like, according to that, it's just being reduced $2,500. It was more than that. It was like two different.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The one was the salary, the one was the operating expense, and we actually reduced the full amount. So if you look at the budget, you know.
The minutes say it can be reduced to $2,500.
I'm pretty sure the total planning board reduction was over $4,000.
I thought it was.
I think what he's saying is we took $4,100 out to bring that line item down to $2,500.
It didn't reduce $2,500. It reduced $2,500.
Okay,
it was. The final one was reduced. I think it was $41,000. It was reduced to
$2,500. Okay.
I had something on the March 1st minutes. See, on page 7. For resolution 59-2011, in the vote, in the roll call, there's one nay for Mr. Higgins, and in the count at the bottom, it says nay 0, so that should be 1. 59-2011. And that was all that I had. Is there anything else on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
I will vote yes on March 1st and abstain on the 15th and the 10th, the budget workshop.
Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions? And we have the executive session minutes of March 1st and March 15th.
Make a motion to remove approved executive minutes of March 1 and 15th.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on either of those? All in favor?
I abstain on the 15th, yes on the 1st.
And opposed? Of course, we have the abstentions. Correspondence.
Make a motion to receive correspondence and file.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Are we going to act on these two requests?
We can, right after we approve them.
Okay.
Unless you'd like to discuss them ahead of time. Hearing none?
Well,
let's just approve.
Okay, we'll receive that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Higgins, you wanted to discuss one of them? Or
well,
both?
Actually, both of them.
Okay.
Do we need some type of formal action? I will make a motion then that we allow Kathy's Cove to place 2 tables and 4 chairs for patron dining during warm weather. And do we have to do them separately, or can we do them together?
Let's do them separately. Do them separately, just for
okay.
The housekeeping.
Okay. Do I make that motion?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Higgins, you wanted to go
yes,
for the
I will
festival?
Make a motion that we allow the Business Improvement District of the Borough of Washington approval to extend the festival day for an additional day to Sunday, October 2nd, so it would be 2 days, the 1st and the 2nd, for the targeted hours of 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. as requested.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I just wanted to clarify that that was the Sunday hours. The Saturday hours is always due extended to
right.
the evening, but we wanted to be courteous to everyone for Sunday evening, even if Monday's a work day.
At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests that is not on the agenda. Bill Elba, you look antsy there.
Bob DeLelva, 86 West Stewart Street. I want to extend to the council, if I may, an invite to a townwide meeting. You may have received this already in the mail, but I want to make sure that every council member does have it. Some of you already know about it.
You got Rex and the other one be blue. You got Rex and the other one be blue.
Yeah. Thanks.
I got it in the mail.
All right, thanks. Yeah, everyone should receive one.
Yeah.
We're going to have this Friday over at the Borough Hall at 7:15. I want to extend the invite to all. We're going to have a townwide meeting. We're going to be talking about various things, the forensic audit, the garbage collection update, the public on both of those items. And also we're going to have two guest speakers talking about the Open Public Records Act, which it may be helpful or find interesting to the council, because we're sure we're going to have some questions about closed session, what's appropriate to be discussed, what's not, and other things where you can obtain information, which you already know those things. But it may be helpful. So two representatives from FOG, NJ FOG, which is a Federation of Open Government, will be coming and speaking on those items. So I extend the invite to all and hope you can make it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Hearing none, I'd accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point we have Ordinance 1-2011, an ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limit and to establish the cat bank.
Make a motion.
We do the public hearing. At this point, I'll open the public hearing on Ordinance 1-2011.
Can we read what the ordinance is? Ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and establish a cap bank.
If
I could defer to the CFO to explain to the public what that means.
This is not to change any numbers in the budget. That does not increase the budget or allows us to spend any money. All that does is our expenditures were allowed to be increased either by 2% or 2.5%, depends on what's left, the inflation factor or the 2.5%. In this case, it was 2. And what the state law also allows is the governing body agrees to actually bank an extra 1.5%, which is the difference between the 2 we put in the budget and 3.5 that is max allowed by the law for future needs. For example, in 2012, we decided to expand BORA. Obviously, it's not going to happen, but hypothetically, and add 5 more departments that weren't there before that will allow us to have a bank of allowable budget numbers. It's not the actual dollars. It's not expenditures. It's not revenue. It just allows us to have more room to budget amounts in future years, and those banks expires every 2 years, so you're voting on 2011 bank by 2013, if we don't use it.
Thank you. Anyone from the public would like to comment? Hearing none, I'd accept the motion to close the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? You don't want to close the public hearing?
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. Then I would accept the motion to approve Ordinance 1-2011.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
Well, yes, there is. let's see. The 1-2-3, be it therefore ordained from the bottom. It's grammatical.
Okay.
That any. It's twice. Do you see it there?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then further on in there, the here and above is run together. Anybody see that right now? Mm-hmm. I need to change. I do have a question of the CFO, though. In the 1, 2, 3, 4th whereas, you list an amount of $45,778.62. Is that for this year?
That's 1.5%. That's what you're planning to base.
Okay. So then down here where it says, now there be ordained, the first one, you have the 3.5 then would be 110. That's the total.
Yes.
Okay, so we're actually increasing that then by, say, $70,000. What that 110,000 is?
We're not increasing it by $70,000. 70, that's what was allowed for us to be used in a budget by the state law, which was a 2%.
Right.
What we are asking permission is to bank additional $45,000. That doesn't mean that we use the entire 70. That's totally, you know, irrelevant to this ordinance. What that meant is we don't need permission for the 2%.
Correct.
We need permission for additional 1.5, which is 45,000. And then the state will do calculations of what actually was used in a budget versus what the 3.5% actually is and allow us to bank whatever the difference will be.
Okay, so this is for appropriation. So next year we have the 2% hard cap.
That's
levy cap. Okay, that's levy cap.
Two
different things. Okay. All right. But that then will authorize us to budget more
if we need to.
If we need to. Okay. Doesn't
sound
okay.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Nope.
Hagan?
No.
Valentine?
Yes.
Brings us up to our 2011 municipal budget. I'm going to go a little bit off of our order there, and I'm going to first bring up Mr. Rosa, our superintendent, and let him have his say.
Good evening, everybody.
Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Rich and I have been chatting over the last couple of months, so I'm here really to just give you a quick update on two items that have some relationship to each other. On Monday at 9 in the morning.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you from your back.
Speaking to the mic.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know. Does this work?
Oh,
it should.
Oh, okay. Oh, it does. All right.
Here we go.
Sorry about that. I'm Lance Rosa, Borough School Superintendent. I'm here really for two somewhat related items. Rich and I have been communicating fairly frequently over the last few months. The first is on the shared services concept of replacing our now retiring borough librarian with a shared services librarian that will service both the schools part-time as well as the borough. The borough library is on restricted hours. The hours of this new person will probably be somewhat restricted even further than they are now, but it'll be replacing a long-term vacancy that the school has been looking to replace over the last 4 or 5 years and also fill the existing vacancy that's actually, as of now, I think Barbara retired now, right, Rich?
Last
last week. And covering that vacancy. The savings to the taxpayer is at least $50,000. Probably more, but certainly conservatively we'll say $50,000. But as a result, the related item, the interviews will be Monday from 9 to 11. I'm hopeful we'll have a candidate within a week or so, and that person could at least temporarily assume the position. The position for the school district cannot actually begin until July 1st of the next academic year. We're not budgeted for it until that period of time. So there'd be sort of a prorated salary to fill probably what amounts to about 2 months. The second item related to that is the school budget. I'm just going to briefly comment on that. The budget is identical to last year, but for $78,000. I just want to briefly describe that to you. The $78,000 we were hoping could be $66,000. We were able to glean all but $12,000 from fund balance to offset any tax increase. We were short doing that. If you folks recall, the governor did take the majority of fund balance last year right around this time. But for a variety of reasons, attrition, being able to save in different account lines and so on, we were all but $12,000 available to offset a tax increase for this year. But the $78,000 includes $30,000 for the shared services librarian, about $10,000 for building repairs in the gymnasium, gym floor, things of that nature in terms of facility use, beyond the school system. And a lot of other costs that have come up through banking services that are now, they're projecting charging us for things that previously were free services, so there's another $10,000 to $15,000 included in there. And the rest are just security upgrades within the framework of the school district. Last year at this time, the council was generous in agreeing to allow us for a failed school budget, giving us $111,000 to offset some of the personnel losses that we would have faced. And I told you folks at that time, some of you were not on the council then, but I did tell those council members at the time, that we would be able to glean at least that amount of money through an anticipated attrition that would occur during the summer months. Same is true this year. Most of the staff turnover that I would expect, I usually don't hear about till May, June, July, or August. So while the budget increase for the taxpayer right now, this evening, is $78,000, which translates into roughly a little under $28 on the average home, I'm reasonably confident by the time I get to August, we will at least be able to glean that $78,000 from a variety of things of people departing for different reasons. I'm just telling you that in advance. So I'm hoping the budget passes. It is significantly less than the increase last year. But on the chance that it does not, that would be the scenario I would be mentioning to you at a later date. Give consideration to two things. One, 40% of the increase is the shared services librarian position, and the other variables in there are just general facility use and things that we have to encounter on an annual basis. But putting all that aside, as I indicated last year, within 3 weeks last year of you folks supporting our budget at $111,000 increase, we were able to glean the money. I sent that off to Rich, and I'm sure he shared that with you. That will also be the case this year. It might take a little bit longer because I know some of the anticipated retirements may not occur till June or July, but I am confident we'd be able to do that. So I just wanted to mention those things to you this evening. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
I believe last year they froze their salaries. Are they doing that this year?
Last year, no, that is not occurring. Last year, there's a third year of a salary guide that was in place. They froze the second year. The entire district had a frozen salary guide last year. Everybody's salary was frozen. In addition, there was additional savings in benefits, which was the larger portion of the $111,000 that I was able to glean that I did send you a letter on. This year, we're honoring the third year of that contract, the minimal increase, and most of that increase is absorbed through attrition of personnel, so we're not replacing a number of people. But no, there's no freeze this year.
Mr. Rose, I would just ask for our new members here about the $111,000 that we spoke about last year. That whole program there, how that worked out for the school as well as for the municipality.
We would have lost at least two and a half staff members, two teachers and possibly a classroom aide. I asked the council to consideration. I think the overall increase was about 170, but I came up with a minimum of 111 through a meeting where I think John and Janine and Scott were there. I said, if we could at least give us this amount, I'm positive I could glean that in savings over the next few months. Now, I knew at that time that there was a pretty good chance we'd have a new benefits package, which would save us a lot of money, but it wasn't definitive. Within 3 weeks after we resolved all this, we did come up with that money, and I documented it to Rich. In this instance, none of those variables come into play, but anticipated retirements and other expenses that I know we'll be able to save over the summer will make up for this difference. The one variable we would not make up is the shared service agreement. That's a benefit to both of us. So on some level, we are saving at least $50,000 on that agreement, but that's to your benefit. The $30,000 to us is to enable that position to come into play.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
So if 40% is that shared services, 60% then would be the $10,000 to $15,000 banking?
Banking and other services, computer technology services, things like that.
Okay, and this is a mandatory kind of item? It's a need item?
Well, we have to have the services for the school district. The other variable is another $8,000 in a program called Contour Data. We actually replaced some personnel last year with technology, with software. that has to be maintained on a regular basis. It's not a huge cost, but when you start itemizing it, it is $8,000. Another $10,000, facility maintenance, use of facility, gymnasium, things like that, custodial care, which is borough recreation related, very important to the community, but still an expense to the school district.
Okay, and the other question I had was, in terms of enrollment, where are we sitting compared to last year, say?
We're up about 10 students. It's pretty much the same, yeah.
It's not a drastic increase.
No, the data shows it may increase by another 10 or 15. It's hard to predict.
Did we actually lose any teachers at all, or no?
Well, last year we did lose 3 positions, yeah. I'm not expecting to lose any this year. I'm hoping we can maintain what we have.
Okay, thanks.
Who's running the library now?
The library is actually run by the district. We have clerks running it. There's no instructional component to the library program. But Dave, you're familiar with this, so I'll kind of answer a question you may come up with. If not now, maybe the next time I see you. By hiring a librarian, we're covering half a position of instruction that we would that we're losing through attrition. Okay, so that person will be deployed at least 15 hours handling instruction. That is now being covered by someone who will not be there. The remainder of time is assigned to the public library.
Yeah, I saw question in the audience there, Lance.
Two questions.
Sure.
How will this affect the hours of the library going forward?
The library hours will remain the same. Public library. Yes. The availability of the librarian in charge may fluctuate, but it'll be based on need.
Okay. And the second question, you said you're going to save $50,000. Who saves the $50,000?
The borough.
The borough. So you're going to, not you, you're going to save.
No.
Michelle, you have one?
Due to the attrition of the employees, teachers, what is the resulting number of students per class?
The class size will remain the same.
Okay. Are there any additional programs being cut?
No. There's actually no change whatsoever in the budget. The only difference in the program would be the available of a librarian instructional piece in the upper grades.
Okay.
And that actually existed a number of years ago. We've been trying to bring it back. The shared service concept enables the borough to save money, enables us to bring it back.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you all very much.
I just have a question. Effective Title 19, the library, don't you have to keep it over certain hours?
The number of hours remains the same, but we're fine. Yeah.
I mean, with the librarian, I remember Title 19. Not Title
IX. Yeah, I know what you're referring. No, the library hours, in terms of funding, will remain exactly the same. In terms of the person available, as long as there's an available person on a consultative or a real basis on present, you're fine.
So we're not screwing
that up? No, not at all. Thank you all.
Thank you. That brings us up to Resolution 76, 2011, for the budget amendment.
Do you think we could do the presentation before we approve the amendment?
Whatever you choose.
Correct. Public hearing and then introduction of amendments. Correct.
Oh, okay. So we have it wrong here. So public hearing first?
Well, I can do the presentation. Okay, then let's do the presentation. This presentation, I guess, is prompted by 2 things. First, the fact that there's public hearing on the budget today, and second, some of the information that is going to be relayed is associated with the best practices that was published in 2010, and in order to be eligible for the funding from the state in December, we need to comply with certain requirements. On the first page, it gives you a general overview of the budget, and if you notice, in 2010, our budget without grants was $7.3 million, and 2011 budget is $7,068,000, which is a reduction of $238,000 in the budget, which is 3.27%. So 2011 budget is less than 2010. The next slide takes you through the revenues between 2010 and 2011 to show where the change is occurring. And if you notice, our surplus is anticipated is much higher. Last year, we anticipated $130,000, and this year, we're anticipating $306,000, increasing our revenue and surplus category by over $176,000. On another note, we lost $399,000 in miscellaneous revenue. Majority of that, $399,000 is extraordinary aid of $400,000 that we are not applying in 2011 and still balancing our budget without additional state aid. As far as delinquent taxes, we're anticipating $293,000. That's all that I still think we can anticipate. And local taxes are going up $271,000. And again, Studi House, the total revenue is down $238,000. That's all we needed in order to balance the budget, which is 3.3% of the budget. Our taxes are up approximately 7.3%.
So can I ask you real quick, with the surplus, that's what we're using, not how much we're getting in revenues. That's what we're using from our surplus.
Correct. That's what we're using in the budget to lower the tax burden. The next slide just talks about the loss of extraordinary aid, which is $400,000 from 2010 to 2011 that we had to make up in 2011 budget. But on the bright picture, every revenue in this budget is recurring revenue. There is not a one-time shot. There is no gimmick. There is nothing that we plug the hole of one-time revenues that will create a problem in 2012. Every revenue there, I believe, will be able to be regenerated for 2012 budget. And as I mentioned, we're anticipating much higher surplus than in prior year. The next slide talks about changes to local taxes. I just wanted to briefly take you to the levy cap and show you what we were allowed to raise in taxes and what we're actually raising in taxes. The 2% levy cap that we are complying with is $102,000. The next couple of items are exclusion, and I made a typo. I must have been typing one and thinking another because I typed health emergency instead of snow emergency on a 2010. Must have been something else in my mind. But the exclusions equal $196,000, and majority of the exclusions are coming from shared services due to increasing PFRS costs and a health cost under the shared service agreement that we have. Then we're also getting penalized for the debt service that we over budget last year by $16,000, so that's getting reduced. And we're getting addition to the new construction because the statement is that if those buildings were on the books last year, it would have required more maintenance. Therefore, we're allowed to raise $4,000 in taxes for that purpose. Overall, the maximum that we're allowed to raise in taxes is approximately $5.4 million, $5.388, and we're raising $5.370. We're below what is allowed to us. That $17,000 in taxes that we're not anticipating in the budget is by the state law is now going to be banked without any ordinances or resolution. That's going to be banked for the 2012 year. So we're starting in 2012, $17,000 for the tax. The surplus slide that in front of you is, the first slide shows you the surplus anticipated as a percentage of the total budget. And if you see in prior years, your surplus fluctuated between 11 and 8% of your entire budget. And then in 2009, it dropped down to zero. And that's where the problems occurred because we needed to apply for some financial aid and extraordinaries from the state. Because when you're losing 10% of your budget in 1 year, it's very hard to make up when all the revenues are pretty much set. And we're slowly building it back up. If you see in 2010, we anticipated close to 2%, and now we're at 4.3% of the budget. You know, there's no hard set rule that says you have to take 10% of the budget for surplus or 5 or 20. The rule is you need to anticipate what you believe you can regenerate. So if you believe you can regenerate 5%, then anticipate 5. And the slide after that also talks about surplus, and it shows the surplus of year before and what was actually put in the budget and the balance left over, you want to, you know, say on your saving account, of the municipal saving account. And in 2006, we generated, the year before, in 2005, we generated $728,000 and we took $675,000 of the $728,000 to be put back in the budget. That's 93% of all the money we had, we put straight in the budget. The next year, we went to 86 and 95, and it stayed at a pretty high rate until, again, 2009. And the reason 2009 was such a bad year is 2008 budgets were unrealistically the revenues that were anticipated weren't realizing, so the surplus obviously wasn't regenerated. And since the expectations were set so high at, you know, $500,000 to regenerate, the board just did not regenerate that type of surplus. In 2011, we are utilizing 46% of our surplus. But again, as I said, it's not the percentage, it's what I believe could be regenerated so we can anticipate equal amounts in 2012 budget versus have this kind of spikes all the time. I mean, the idea is that you have your revenue and you have your expenses, and obviously they fluctuate a little, but not that way. The next two slides come together, and it's the trend of five-year revenues versus the actual, what we anticipated versus what we collected. And I just want to point out a couple of things. Under miscellaneous revenue in 2009, if you see, we budgeted $495,000 and only collected $408,000. The good budgeting, you either hit the target or you exceed the target, because anything that exceeds goes into your surplus. If you didn't collect enough, that actually penalizes the borrower and the surplus goes down, and therefore you're paralyzing the next budget and probably several years down the road. If you look at the state aid between 2009 and 2011, we went from almost a million three to 590,000. That's the reduction of almost, you know, over 600,000 that we lost in state aid, and we still made up in the 2011 budget. And what brought us, remember that slide before we talked about the surplus in 2009 was zero. What brought us to that point, if you look at the 2008 miscellaneous revenue, we anticipated $570,000 in the budget. We only collected $369,000. That took away $200,000 from the surplus just on that item alone. And in 2007, weren't much greater. We actually didn't even collect. We anticipated more state aid than we collected. And I'm not sure how that would have happened because the state aid numbers come out. But we put $913,000 in the budget and only collected $863,000. And all of those little anticipated higher than collected, that's what caused all the surplus to be depleted. The five-year revenue trend, I just put a chart, I guess. It's the same number that you saw before. It's just in the pictorial. Sometimes it's easier to see the picture versus track the numbers. And if you see the state aid was climbing up and dropped, it's the first line, and it dropped because we lost 400,000 in extraordinary aid, and we lost, you know, Tantra, and we, every year you lose some state aid. And the taxes are the second line that is between 2009 and 2010 was very steep, and if you see between 2010 and 11, it's much more level. Still going up, but level. And delinquent taxes are somewhat leveled in, that's the next line. Miscellaneous revenue anticipated. We used to have a very high numbers anticipated, and between 8 and 9, it substantially dropped, and now it's leveling up between 9 and 11. It's somewhat flat. And the surplus, obviously, we talked about, it went from a pretty high number down to zero, and now it's slowly building back up. The major changes in 2011 appropriations that are in this budget is a one-time, or what changed is that, obviously, in this budget, we have a forensic audit at $100,000. We put a deferred charge of $17,000. If you recall, that's to raise the receivables that will not be collected from the DOT. And we have about $150,000 to raise. So we're raising $17,000 this year budget, and we'll raise the balance in 2012. We're now paying for the payroll services that used to be paid by the banks. Most of the banks, due to low interest and not earning as much on borrow money as they used to, are no longer paying for that type of service. So we're now paying payroll charges. We increased streets and roads budgets primarily due to wonderful weather we have for the last couple of months. Our health insurance down, police and salaries down, recreation down. That doesn't mean there's cuts that could not be sustained. Obviously, health insurance is down because we don't have as many employees. Police and salaries and wages down because we are almost done with paying all everything that we contractually were obligated to pay for the police when we converted to shared services. recreation is, the intent was for them to be self-sustaining through the trust. So in 2010, we still had to budget substantial amount to help them function, but we believe there is substantial amount in the trust fund for them to function in 2011. We're not doing any capital improvements in 2011 budget, and due to excellent collection rate, or improved collection rate, our reserve fund collective taxes is down $180,000. All of those reductions is what helped us balance the budget and had a reduction of over 3% from 2010. The next couple of slides that talks about 2011 appropriations, it just shows the percentage of each budget in relation to total budget. And I've highlighted the big ticket items. The police department, even with shared agreement, is still close to 30% of our entire budget. And streets and roads is 7%, and that's all your snow removal and everything that goes into it. And this is actually four slides long since our budget is so long. And then the debt service is 12.5% of the budget, and reserve fund collected is 10. So reserve fund collected is something that we need to look into and see if there is ways that we could lower that number, improve our collection rate even more, and we will work on that. As far as the personnel, there's been substantial changes from 2009 to 2011 budget. In 2009, we had 73 full and part-time employees. In 2010, we had 66, and this budget has 63 full and part-time employees in it. The slide after that, it's 3 pages long, and it's primarily there because I wanted you to see, and it shows the changes in the 2010 and 2011 budget and the difference in the line items. And what I wanted you to see is there is many minuses in many departments and many zeros. The 2011 budget is almost 2010 with just bare necessary increases. There is not frivolous expenditures here. There is no, there's no wish list in this budget. As far as the salaries and wages, this budget has 3.5% increases for the union, per union contract, and the non-union increases that are equal to that. That would be all I wanted to
speak
about.
That's not good.
All that I wanted to tell you.
Yeah. Now, the numbers in here, though, are before this amendment.
Correct.
I do have a question, if I might.
Sure.
63 employees, excluding seasonal?
You need to remember, technically, we still had, this year, we still have the police personnel employed from the post-shared service agreement contractual obligations we had to pay. We had to keep them on payroll. So technically they're an employee of the borough and the township. Come 2012, once all of our contractual obligations have been met, the number's going to drop down to mid-30s.
We don't have 30 cops.
No, it's crossing guards and the police officer.
Still
not
30 of them.
There's 18 and 13. Not member, there's also a civilian employee, non-police personnel that went over there, too.
So next year, they will be off?
Yes.
They will be...
In fact, if I recall correctly, I think we have one more payment, right? No, February was the last payment, but technically, they're still on the books for 2011. So by 12, the number will change.
And that was for the unused sick time and vacation?
That's correct.
Okay. That's why they...
Yes.
But did their benefits stop, though?
Yes. The only thing, they were on payroll to pay the contractual unused benefit time obligation. That's it.
Okay, you have anything you want to present?
No, sir. Mayor.
Okay, that brings us to the public hearing, then.
Okay, the amendment or public hearing?
Public hearing. At this point, I'll open up the public hearing on the 2011 municipal budget. Anybody who'd like to speak, just come up to the podium, give your name and address for the record. Hearing none, I would accept a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Now we can do Resolution 76-2011, right? Is there a motion?
So moved.
A second? And I'll second it for the purposes of discussion. Any discussion on this?
Maybe we should just open discussion by saying that what I found the most helpful in the presentation was the percentages on the last three pages for the line items, okay? So, to me, there's only a very few areas even to be considered in terms of this budget where there's large increases or, you know, something. And I'm sure each one of these, as I'm aware, need very little explanation, more than what was already said. So.
I have a couple of questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Natalia, you have it? Okay. On the first page, with for the revenues for the Municipal Alliance, why don't you include there, like you do under, like on the, if you see on the bottom of page two and continued on the third page, why don't you include the local share on this first page?
Because local share is not a revenue. The revenue is only what the state gives us. The local is what we have to raise through our revenue. So it's actually part of the tax base.
That's like one of my questions. That's what I don't get. Why do we have to raise these like grants?
If you accept a grant that has a match, you have to raise the match through taxes or some other type of revenue.
So whenever we approve that grant, we've been approving the match. Okay. Wait a second. Why has it changed so much? I just found there was a lot of changes since we introduced the budget. So
all the changes is what I guess we took most of the changes is the mayor and council reduction in salaries and wages was brought on the budget workshop meeting.
Yeah, no, okay, I'll go through the ones. Like this revenue, the receipt for delinquent taxes, that went up quite a bit. Why?
Well, that went up in order to balance the budget. When the cuts were made, and then we also received the final cost from the Washington Township as far as the police of $58,000, those expenses, when you put them in the budget, would require some type of revenue in order to balance. So I had to look and see what revenues I can raise. Obviously, certain revenues I'm already maxing out, and I wasn't looking at taxes as far as increasing taxes cost 7.3 cents. So I had to look at other revenues available to me in order to balance the budget. And receipts from delinquent taxes was the revenue that was available to be raised higher. So that's why we used that revenue. Because we had to come up with $58,000 for the interlocal service.
Okay, then on the appropriation page, I guess explain to me animal control, because I've spoken to Rich about this, privately. I guess I'm trying to understand now why, or I thought we had enough in the trust that we didn't need to have it, and now why do we have to have it? Why do we have to raise that money if we're already going to get it through fees? It's like we're...
This is how the state works. If I don't put $10,000 in salaries and wages as an expenditure in the budget, I would have to take a cap adjustment of a service I no longer provide. They would lower my amount that I can raise by $10,000. Regardless of the fact that I'm still providing the service with the trust fund, if it's not an insurance fund, it looks like a service that I'm no longer providing. So I would have to take a reduction in my cap. So what the state allowed me to do is to put the salaries back in the budget and put a revenue that comes from the trust for equal amounts. So the net impact is still zero, but as far as the presentation, purpose. It shows the money in the budget, and it shows the revenue on the revenue side. But it's still zero impact on the budget.
But, so that is that, is that $10,000 included in the total amount to be raised by taxes? No.
No.
Okay.
Separate revenue item.
A separate revenue item. Okay. Then, what is the new charge for road repaid and maintenance salaries and wages of $3,000? $3,234. That was not.
What is what?
Which one are you looking at?
On page 2.
Number 8.
A, other operations, road repaid and maintenance salaries and wages. It was zero. Now it's
$3,234. Oh, no. This is, we have 363. If you look at A, it's road repaid and maintenance salaries going from 363 to 360. And the difference between them is just being listed lower from 0 to 3234. The net is still zero. But because that $3,200 was associated in December 26th, no,
the emergency.
The state requires us to report it
separately
from total salaries and wages.
Okay.
But the impact is zero.
My other question, wait, I want a couple more. On the bottom of page 2, the shared police services, I understand that it's different from the presentation, and it's now, but it's also different from the spreadsheet that Rich gave us. So it says on the spreadsheet that you gave us that, including the guards, it's not the same. And I guess I'm going to ask for next year. The point I'm trying to make is the bottom line is the total general appropriations has gone up about $68,000 since the introduced budget.
Well, it's $58,000 for the shared services and $10,000 for the animal. But $10,000 for the animal really shouldn't be counted as gone up because you put a $10,000 on the revenue side, you know, to break it to zero. So your total appropriation gone up $58,000, which is your interlocal services, Washington Township.
For the police?
Yes.
So I guess why has that number changed? And then why has that number changed? And next year, would it behoove us, when we introduce the budget, to include the crossing guards from the get-go so that we don't see this increase?
Crossing guards are in there. Their overall budget changed. The crossing guards are listed in there separately.
Right. No, I know, but the number has changed since the introduced.
Correct. I mean, they're under the same requirements as we are. They can introduce number A and adopt number B.
What's that $58,000 increase on the police side then?
Some of it has to do with the items in green that are listed there. The other has to do with the purchase of their vehicles, the non-SUV vehicles, because they're not purchasing the SUV.
I didn't know they were purchasing any of the vehicles.
There's a line item in there that says police
vehicles. All right, so then I guess my last question is, what is, again, the total general appropriations and the revenue number? It's now $7,136, and I believe the amount to be raised by taxes for the municipal budget went down like a couple
Correct.
Of thousand dollars.
Correct.
So what is our new tax rate and increase?
Well, the increase is still around 7% because the whole
7 cents.
7 cents, sorry. Same thing. The taxes went down $3,913.57. So it didn't change the rate, you know, dramatically. It's still the same rate and it's still the same 7 cents. It's just when it was, you say 7.3 something,
right.
Now it's 7 point, you know.
Okay. And so even though the appropriations went up by like that $68,000, we're okay.
Correct. Because I didn't use the taxes to balance appropriation. I used the reserve fund for delinquent taxes to balance the $68,000.
What is the date of this amendment?
Today.
It has to be introduced.
No, what is the date of this report when you did this?
Last Thursday is when it was created.
Last Thursday?
Yeah. That's when it was sent to the clerk for the agenda.
So then it was approved by the state, though.
The state hasn't seen this yet.
Yes,
yes they
have.
They signed off. I didn't mail it to the clerk until the state signed off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're not permitted to put it before you until they approve it.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I did not receive page 1 of that document in my package. And Kelly and Jewel did not receive the document at all.
Did anybody get two copies?
No. Sometimes I do get two copies, but not at that time.
I'll let Christine know.
Okay.
Do you want to make copies of these now? Want a copy of this?
You going to give me an hour to move it?
I'm serious.
I don't mean that sarcastic.
No, I know you don't. No, I'm serious.
Well,
you take mine.
You need a page, right?
Yeah, I need a page. Okay.
You want me just to go through every line and explain what's changed?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you could, please.
I got a question, and maybe just this one.
Sure.
If you were going to bring it down to, say, 5 cents, and you were mandated to do that just to save 2% off the top of your head, reviewing this and all the hours that you spend doing it, which I'm sure there's quite a number.
She can't hear you.
Okay. In your review, in your extensive review, and if you were asked to say, save an additional 2 cents, would you be possibly able to do that, and how would you, what would the first thing come to mind?
Well, I mean, there's certain things that could be done. Obviously, we budgeted $70,000 for deferred charges and funded. There is no law that says you have to budget it. It's a good budgeting, it's a good practice. You have receivables that you're never going to collect, and you need to get them off the books, because that's what we kept, you know, being written out for by the auditors. But at the same time, it's your choice. If you tell me to remove the $70,000 from the budget for deferred charges and funding, that's your 2 cents increase.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Jewell, Mr. Higgins, do you need a little more time on this?
Yes.
Okay. Can we defer this for a little bit?
Sure.
You want to take a 10-minute break so you can go over it?
Can you do that?
I don't see any reason why not.
Please?
We do have a motion and a second on the
motion. I'll make the motion for a 10-minute break.
Second.
Hold on. We have a motion and a second on the floor right now for the resolution. So how about if we withdraw that? John, would you withdraw the motion?
Sure.
And I'll withdraw the second. Then we'll accept the motion for the 10-minute break.
I'll make a motion for a 10-minute break.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we'll be back at...
this one's not even complete. Christine's copy is not even complete.
It's only 3 pages.
Convene.
I'll watch your language. Okay, Mr. Higgins, Mr. Jewell, you... I had your questions answered by the CFO?
I did.
I'm satisfied.
Okay.
This is for the amendment.
Yes. For 76, 2011.
Sure.
John, would you like to move it again?
Move it again, yes.
Okay. And I'll
so we just got to get the clerk to get another copy, right?
Two copies. All
right. You keep
this is copy.
You can hold on to that if you need it.
Thank you.
Because I've reviewed it.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on this? Yeah, have a roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
Corey?
Abstain.
Higgins?
No.
Boyle?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a resolution. But that's fine.
Okay, that brings us to our reports.
Make a motion to receive and file a report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Wait.
I'm sorry, I don't need a roll call on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I had a question on one of the issues here on the bill. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I did have a question on one of the reports.
Okay.
Excuse me. It was on the municipal court report.
Okay.
Is this for the month of
Prior month. February.
Okay.
It's always the month prior.
Okay. That was it. Do you have a question from the audience?
How come you never hear anything about the police activity report? Well, it's coming out every first and third Tuesday, you never hear a lot.
We do get one.
There you go.
Who does?
We do.
Right now.
Well, we never hear anything yet.
Yeah. I guess nobody ever has any questions about it.
How can you have a question if you don't know what it is?
We do. And that's where the question would come from.
See, I just gave one.
Committee reports, the subcommittee committee, do we have anything?
I do have something to report. This, we had a meeting, and we covered two items. The first was our surveys, of course, and surveys, we're getting very little, now, Rich, we have five?
I haven't received any.
Okay, so citizen response forms did go out, and they were placed in the municipal building. Basically, the committee kind of is going to recommend that they go out in the next mailing, if that's possible, to see if we can get a little bit more participation.
Do you want to poll that, or the survey's on the website, is it not?
It is on the website, but...
Do you want, or do you just want to put a little notice in there saying that it's on the website, and here's the link, and go to that?
That would be fine, but, you know, as long as, you know, it's out there.
I think Mr. Delevo wants to announce it on Friday.
Yeah, Mr. Torres, if you want to bring some survey on that data...
That'd be great.
But then the citizens will know more. Not everybody goes on the website. Not everybody really knows.
That's true.
So you're welcome to do that. I think it'll promote the cooperation.
Okay, very good. Okay, and then the other item was the Recreation Commission proposed ordinance.
Yeah, that's on our next one.
Pardon?
That's our next one. We're just dealing with the subcommittee right now. Subcommittee.
Okay, that's what we discussed that in.
Okay, so we're done with that one now?
Yeah.
Okay, is any questions on that?
No. No, sir.
Okay. Now we'll go to old business.
Well, listen, if I can, we had a audit subcommittee meeting. I know that wasn't on that, but we did. I didn't present anything to the... again, it was pretty much a discussion and rehashment of binding versus non-binding. Referendum, what it entails, questions, and I think some of those questions were answered earlier this evening. One of the questions was whether or not Mr. Delevo could join us, which of course was answered. And then again, the potential, you know, if what it is that we need to do, and I don't know, Rich, how far we can discuss this, you know, as far as our discussion.
You can always discuss the process
in
the public. Correct. You can always discuss the options in a public forum. The only thing it's at council's discretion to do would be the contract negotiations, personnel issues, it closed. Everything else you can discuss in public.
I'm talking about the discussion that we had about the binding versus the non-binding.
You can discuss that. That's 100% public.
Okay. Well, this is gonna rattle some cages, I guess. I met with the manager after our meeting, and we talked about binding versus non-binding and the language in the proposals. The proposals are public documents now.
Correct.
So we can talk about that.
Well, I'm sorry, the proposal bidder and amount are public.
But the proposal itself?
The physical proposal document is private.
Oh, it is?
That's correct. The only thing that's public right now is the name of the bidder and the amount bid.
But I'm talking about the proposal that went out.
Oh, you mean the RFP document?
Yes,
I'm sorry, I thought you meant what they submitted. Correct.
Okay.
The RFP document is public.
Correct. It's public. And in there it talks about a full and complete forensic audit to include, Bob has the exact words, you know, reviewing every financial transaction during that 5-year period. Now, we have to make a determination as to whether or not it is a binding referendum as a council. I don't know if that's taken by vote. I know that, I know what we've received from the attorney. The only way that that would be determined would be through a court of law by a judge. I don't know if we took a vote whether or not we could determine that was binding or non-binding or not. There are still some stipulations that if we deem it binding and we're challenged and it's not binding, you know, if we deem it binding, we have to live to the letter of the proposal and the ballot question itself. And the proposal says that a full and complete audit of every transaction for that five-year period. If the council were, from what I understand, to deem it non-binding, that could be done by the council, correct?
Correct, if that's
okay.
Right.
I want you to correct me if I'm wrong in any of these statements here. That we would have to go out for proposals again. We couldn't award any proposals based on the proposals we received.
Just, if I may, just to clarify, I just want to make, if the body deems it non-binding, the only way you would need to go out for proposals again is if you decide to perform a different action.
Other than what's in the
RFP right now. But the local public contracts law states that when you go out for a bid or you go out for an RFP, you dictate the specification. If you change those specifications before you receive the proposals, which is permitted, you have to issue an addendum saying, okay, you know what, we're changing line A to read X, which is permitted. Since that wasn't done and proposals were received based on the original document, should this body change the scope, you have to solicit proposals again in order to be compliant with the public contracts law.
So based on, I can't go into that.
I can oversimplify it if you permit me. There's two aspects of this. If you go forward as is, whether the governing body deems this non-binding or binding is irrelevant because you're moving forward with it. That doesn't matter. If you want to change the scope of the project, the only way you can do that is to deem it non-binding, amend the RFP document to state specifically what you want to amend it to, and then solicit proposals again. Now that's directly out of the local public contract law. You can't change the concept of negotiation isn't to change the scope of the service based in an RFP scenario. It's a change, all right, well, you know, firm A charges $80 an hour, maybe we can negotiate them to $70 an hour. That's not changing the scope of the project, that's negotiating the cost of the project. If you change the scope of the project, by law, you have to re-solicit proposals with the new scope. As an example, say this governing body amends the scope, awards it to bidder A. The other bidders, 10, and if I was them, take issue with that, saying, oh, if you're changing the scope, I gave you a number in good faith based on this proposal. You're now changing the specifications without, you know, affording the public an opportunity to provide an accurate price for the work. So that's the short version of it.
What gives this governing body the right to determine whether it's binding or non-binding?
By virtue of your position.
But I would think anything like that would be challengeable in a court of law.
That's another issue. I'm not disputing that.
Yeah,
but
we're back to square one.
Correct. Yeah. It's a catch-22. Ultimately, this governing body has the legal authority to do so if they choose. If they stay the course as it is and they do what's in there, you know, binding or non-binding doesn't matter because you're moving forward with it. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're done. I'm really confused at this. We allotted in the budget $100,000 to do this audit.
Correct.
And we're getting people in that we're interviewing for the audit. So what's the holdup?
I'm just addressing Councilman Higgins' concerns. I mean, I can't tell this body how to act.
Well, no, I understand that. Well, if we have the money budgeted, And we've been interviewing people to do it.
It's based on the language of both the question and the proposal.
If I may?
Sure.
To clarify, it might be worth it to explain to, I mean, you and I had the conversation, so I know what you're talking, maybe it's worth it to explain the discrepancies that came up in your meeting.
As far as what?
As far as what you're proposing to be reviewed.
Was the proposal different from the question?
Yes.
I think that'll make more sense to explain it to the public.
Bob has both the question and the proposal.
The proposal as it was presented were on the ballot. Okay. Which shall the governing body of the Borough of Washington be required to contract the services of a qualified auditing firm to conduct a complete forensic audit, commencing in the year 2011 and going back 5 fiscal years of all municipal financial transactions and procedures. There seems to be a concern about the discrepancy with the word "or" added to the RFP. Let me, if I may, just say something. If at this point, after receiving 86% of the vote, allotting the monies in the budget, any delay will be interpreted as a way of covering something up by the public. I'm telling you where people are coming from. We've waited a whole year and a half to get this done. We're back to base one again, and now it's time to pull the trigger. Somebody's got to do that. Not only that, you'll be possibly making yourself liable for lawsuits from the people that already presented audits to you, proposals. Because if you change it again, somebody has presented them twice, okay? So not only are we making it open ourselves for liability in terms of the public, and a misinterpretation of this confusion, you're also opening it up, I believe, to some of the auditing firms coming back and saying, you know, at their turn, red flag. And I think at this point, let's look at the good faith that is being presented. You know, in an attempt to try to work together to get this resolved, I think you clearly have a mandate from the citizens. Binding, non-binding, all complete. The people that came in here were qualified people. They presented to you. They presented within the budget that you gave them and the guidelines. We believe that, okay? We believe you have a mandate to decide who. We believe that it should be now and not delayed further. Any delay will be misinterpreted. I can't discuss anything further in detail. I'm bound by the council's rules and regs, but I think that would suffice.
The committee, the forensic committee, giving the information back, I mean, I'm ready to go forward with this. I don't know of any other council person that's not.
I know.
Right. So I don't know what's the delay. Did anybody up here want this delayed?
No.
No.
No, and I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing tonight. We're going back into exec tonight, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mr. Higgins is just raising some of the discussion
okay.
that he had with the manager and the audit committee.
Are there people on the audit committee then that have concerns?
No.
I think what it is we want to make sure that we're doing it the right way.
It's the word.
It's the matter of language.
It's the matter of language is right.
Right.
That's exactly right.
As long as the people are satisfied,
right,
and the people who are part of the committee are satisfied, I'm happy.
I think a lot of it is if are we hung up on that 100% line by line?
Yes.
Audit.
Yes.
Or, you know, is that the full and complete audit 100%, or is a full and complete audit one that goes through
It's all a matter of interpretation.
Yeah.
So would the public be open to the interpretation of, you know?
Yes.
I'm assuming.
Yes. I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to have a discussion about this later on.
Yeah.
What about the people that submitted proposals? What do they understand as law?
That was part of
that's
yeah,
some of
we'll
what
go back
was
to
closed
session.
Session.
We'll go back
yeah.
to executive session.
That's a
so
closed
session.
Right.
Can you point out to me where it says 100?
Sure.
I did not see that.
I think it's on the
it's
bolded.
On the one.
No, it's in the RFP
this
document.
Is the older one.
Oh.
The one that you have highlighted in red.
Mr. Lalba, if you remember,
I gave you
at the time you gave me that copy.
Yes.
You provided me that copy with the amended language
yes.
at the public meeting to find
right here
it. Says, that's why we amended it.
Reviewing all expenditures from all budget accounts that transpired during the calendar years 2006 to 2010. Yeah, this is the same 100% line by line.
Yeah, it's an interpretation. I think what we're trying to do is cover ourselves against the lawsuit.
I understand that. But you know what you're saying? By doing so, you're almost setting yourself up for multiple. And, you know, you can't ask me and say, well, nobody sued because we did this. I don't know. I'm not every citizen in the borough. I can express the discontent on a hearing, and I'm saying to delay it further is going to set us up for worse scenarios than this one. Because I think if we're all in agreement, the intent is to move this forward and get it done.
Yeah, and I think we're all in agreement with that.
I agree.
We're all on the same page, just maybe not in the same sentence.
As long as the people are happy with the decision we're making, I'm happy, in my opinion.
As long as I don't get sued, I'm fine. I'm telling you right now, I just signed up for being sued.
Scott, with this, actually, we might be in the position of the suer if who we choose does not follow according to the RFP, which was a buzzer.
And again, that's
proposed, so
that's an interpretation thing.
Ms. Sloan, you had some.
What is the word binding modified? I mean, this is binding or non-binding. What are they talking? Is it binding up to 100%? Finding that we get it done. What is the word?
There was some question as to whether the resolution or the ballot question was a binding ballot question or a non-binding ballot question. And we've had a legal opinion that says essentially, I don't know.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So that's where it is.
I don't know.
I think we're overcomplicating it a lot.
Yeah. Okay, I end my comments on the forensic audit committee.
There you're done.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on. All right. Thank you. That takes us to the recreation draft ordinance, if needed. Do we have any discussion on that?
I do, but to try to keep it concise, being that we have a lot of other items to go over, I request that we postpone the discussion. And we had an in-depth discussion with recommendations to the council for some changes to the draft ordinance. Which I would like to have time to propose, and really should be done on a line-by-line, kind of point-by-point basis, if you would, to go over certain things in that proposed ordinance. And then,
I understand you met with Mrs. Yaporsky.
Oh, yeah, she was attending the meeting as well, sure. Absolutely.
What's on it,
we had recommendations from her as well.
Okay.
So we have all that to present. I'd rather postpone that to the next meeting.
Okay,
though.
Mrs. Scholl, you had a
comment? Yes, I would say because not all the members of the committee got to inform the other members of the committee their comments, changes, recommendations.
Okay.
None of
perfect.
Them
okay.
To my knowledge, only one person has made comments.
Okay, and for that reason, then, I would like to just
okay,
postpone
so
that. So great.
Is this holding up any work that needs to be done by
no.
The
No. The REC is moving forward as needs to be, and I don't see any issue with that. Okay, that takes us over to new business. Resolution 68, 2011, a recycling tonnage grant.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that?
Now, is it a 2011 grant or a 2010 grant?
I knew you were going to ask that. I certainly. It's 2010. You always have to do it the year after because they have to total all the tonnage.
I'm telling you, why do we keep getting these? It doesn't seem like every 6 months we have this municipal alliance grant.
Well, municipal lines
municipal.
Right. This is recycling. Municipal lines goes fiscal year.
I'm jumping ahead of myself.
Recycling.
But this is 2010.
Correct. We can't adopt a grant until we know how many tons we recycled. Once you get the total number of how much you recycled from the prior year, you can adopt it, and then you get the reimbursement from.
But how does that affect it when the numbers were in the 2010 budget? Like
2010
this year we don't
budget,
have that money.
2010 budget was
really close.
2009 numbers.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
It's always a year after.
Okay.
Same thing with municipal lines. It's always a year, and I know that's on here as well. You know, that's adopting, the next round. Everything is a year off, unfortunately. It doesn't go January through December.
Rich, the tonnage report, does it come from Blue Diamond?
Data comes from Blue Diamond. It gets compiled by my office and sent to the county.
Do you have anything off the top of your head what our ratio is?
I don't recall off the top of my head. I mean, I looked at it weeks ago. I mean, I'll be happy to forward the whole body to the final.
And now it can be a good indication how well we're recycling in the municipal
Washington. Overall tonnage as a whole was down because you got rid of the bulk collection. Because they do recycle some of the bulk things. Now, recycling isn't just glass, aluminum, paper, plastic. It's, vegetative. it's, you know, certain types of wood material, certain,
that's where the money is.
So all of that kind of stuff, you know, where we're not recycling that, we're not spending money to dispose of it, we're not getting, also, we're not getting credit for disposal.
But you could see your regular garbage tonnage go up because some people are sneaking it in.
Yes.
So there's
got to
be...
There is a trade-off. Obviously, no one's going to sneak a sofa out on garbage day, but that kind of... Well, maybe not.
If you'd like to see if it was 100 tons of regular garbage, you'd like to see 80 tons of recycling.
I can email you the breakdown. Off the top of my head, I just don't recall.
Actually, Blue Diamond is very good about checking for recycling in the garbage.
They won't pick it up.
If they hear glass clanking in there, they put a red sticker on it and say it's glass.
Good.
Yeah, we're not picking it up.
Yeah.
Even cardboard.
And that's when we get the phone call.
I wouldn't know that.
That garbage wasn't picked up.
Yep. Okay, any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 71, 2011.
So moved.
Second. Okay, this is the Municipal Alliance. Mrs. Lieber was talking about. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, on roll call, please.
Lieber?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Corey?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Keegan?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, how about if we do 72, 73 all in together?
And 74?
Yes.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion on any of those? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yes.
Lieber?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Corey?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
75, 2011, appointment to the Planning Board of Gary Pahorley.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that one?
Just that, he's pretty well qualified, reading the document here.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No. I gave him the choice of the Board of Adjustment and Planning Board. He chose Planning.
I like that.
Yeah, he'll be good on that.
Yes, he will.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 77, 2011.
Now, is it supposed to be 76?
It's just a typo on the agenda.
On the agenda. So it's supposed to be 77?
Yes.
76 was?
The budget amendment.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, would anyone like to move that?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes, Rich, is this verified by whom?
Code enforcement officer.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Well, let's pay some bills.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the bills?
The list, the vouchers here?
Yes.
Maybe it's just me. I'm looking at page 4 on the purchase order.
I'm sorry, you said page 4?
Page 4. First thing, I see three items here. Three Shilton Asian service manuals.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What is that for?
That goes to the library. The library keeps automotive service manuals in its rotten.
And it's an Asian?
Yeah, for Asian cars, foreign cars.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like in Asian writing.
No.
Okay. I was confused there. So I have Shilton manuals in my house myself, but I didn't get
them. I have a question.
So it could be for a Honda or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. Okay, Mr. Torres.
Okay. Rich, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but it seems that in this particular weekly report, there's extensive amount of library expenses. Now, is that going to change with this new shared service agreement? Are they buying things, in other words, maybe one of the things was that computer...
No, the shared service was just for the director, not...
Okay, well...
To answer your question, no. These are normal operational purchases that they use to run the library.
Right, so this is...
Like
not going to change with the shared services. Shared services, then we're still going to have these same, sometimes high expense, but I consider, out of the norm, let's call it.
The way it works is the municipality who has a local library makes a contribution each year based on the total assessment. We give them that money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by law, we can only make sure that the purchases are being made in accordance with the local public contracts law. The library board dictates how it's spent.
Yeah,
so we have to get them. The governing body has to approve them, but they dictate how it's spent.
Okay.
Good. Anything else on the vouchers?
Yeah, I have to put
Sure.
Page 2,
The regular one or sewer?
Regular one. Why isn't that the trust account for the trees?
Page two, trees. That was part of their budget request from last year, the 2010 account. We just got the signed voucher. That was part of their budget request from 2010.
But isn't all that, doesn't all their money go into the trust?
No, Shade Tree doesn't have a trust. Shade Tree had $8,000 of money that the governing body gave them last year and a $7,000 grant.
Okay.
So this is coming out of their normal operating
normal
expense.
Normal operating, okay. And the last one is on page 18. How is the physical education and training? What is that,
Page 18.
The second thing. I'm just curious what it is.
The physical for a new employee, I think that was.
But why is it education and training?
That's just a line item. That's what it gets charged to. POSHA, if you look to the right, the description. Education and training is what's referred to as a tracking ID, a commodity tracker. That has nothing to do with the account it's charged to. If you look to the right, it's charged to POSHA, Public Employees Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration. That's what it's charged to. The numbers you see underneath where it says tracking ID 1020, that's a commodity tracker internally. That has nothing to do with the expense.
Oh, because that's typically what I look at.
Correct,
so,
yeah. That's solely a commodity tracker.
I don't understand what the expense is.
Yeah, that.
Where does she work? I never
heard of her. She's with, I think it was with the fire department or first aid? I remember.
I'm not allowed to talk about the fire department.
Must be the fire department.
We charge them all to the same account from POSHA.
Oh. So that's not their $33,000.
No.
That's something different.
No,
okay.
That's correct. We do that for all.
Got a couple more. Real quick.
Anything else, Mrs. Weaver?
That's it.
Okay, Mr. Torres again?
Yeah, thanks. I just have a couple more real quick explanation from Rich on a couple of these items. It seems to be on page 17, the Verizon bills. Now, with that breakdown, I don't understand, is there a telephone at the park?
Yes.
That we use?
Yes.
Yes, in the summertime, yes.
Yeah, but it's not the summer.
There was two lines there. We canceled one and left one line. So there is a phone line there. We can't operate a municipal facility without a phone in case, God forbid,
yeah,
an emergency.
Yeah, but I mean, so my question is, who's using the phone then? If, you know, it's,
well, now that it's
not
being,
one way.
So the park right now, as you see, was $120.
Yeah.
All right, it's $60 per line. There was two lines there. No one was using it. You know.
Oh, so that's like the minimum cost.
Yeah,
okay.
That's just your base cost.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's changed.
Thanks.
We canceled one of the phone lines, and now we have one down there.
Okay. And this other one is back here on page 5, okay? And it's for janitorial supplies. And it just, I mean, I just figured out. It seems to be $64 a case for the Seafold paper towels. Is that like normal expense? It seems a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the same price.
And if we get this every week, and then it adds up.
I mean, what we do is we buy them in bulk and we store them, so it's cheaper.
How often do you buy them? And you're good for how long?
Maybe every quarter.
Okay.
Are you use the co-op thing?
Oh, we use Morris County Co-op quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Morris County, Warren County, Somerset County we're members of, as well as the state.
Right.
So we do purchase off of that. Now, the price isn't always better on those, so that's when we don't buy from them, but we do check it each time.
Okay.
It does fluctuate.
Right.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, I abstain on anything that has to do with the fire department. Yes on everything else.
Check my phone.
Yes.
And yes, abstain from Finale Consulting.
Jules?
Yes, with the exception of the emergency squad and fire department.
Corey?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. What do we have on your list, Mr. Fallon?
The only item I have this evening is I'll email the governing body a copy of the 2010 recycling tonnage report.
Okay. Council remarks. Mr. Jewell.
I just want to say great job with the budget to Natasha. She's done.
Yeah.
Showing a positive improvement. The future looks to be a bit bright, which is good. Let's keep up with the good work and find other ways to save money and increase our savings. Please keep up the good work. Second thing, please keep the door shut downstairs to the council mail room. I've noticed a couple times I've been over here. It is unlocked. The lights are on. Lights are off. So there are some confidential documents in there. We do not want them to get out to the wrong people. Thank you.
Councilman Boyle?
I just want to dovetail off of that.
The downstairs office will be for recreation?
Yes, they're already occupying it.
So our mailboxes will still be in that room there?
Oh, yeah, that's not changing. Correct.
Okay, so, okay. All right. You know, actually, we have a sewer committee meeting tomorrow.
You stole my thunder.
All right. Forget I even said that.
10:30.
I normally do anyway.
10:30.
I'm good.
Is it 10:30?
I respond to 10.
10 o'clock.
10 a.m.
Oh, you know, I have another one with a map there. 10:30, that's right.
Mr. Higgins.
That's quite the minute. of course, I was going to reiterate that we have a sewer subcommittee meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. here at the Borough Hall. The lights are out in the crosswalk again.
Mm-hmm. Same problem. Nothing's changed. We're still waiting to get a permanent solution. I'm sorry?
I saw yesterday
across
the town. There was a lady doing something with the...
It could have been someone from Andrew's office, but they were working on it. Figuring out what it was.
You might want to find out if they're getting a conservative series. I'll tell you later. Anyway, and Friday, everybody got an invitation to that meeting on Friday, just so everybody knows that's not an advertised meeting, so if there's four people there, somebody's going to have to leave. Through the council.
It means the governing body.
The governing body. So if four council members show up, one of them's going to have to leave. We can only assemble three at a time if it's not advertised.
I can bet some stuff.
Yeah. That's it, I guess. Oh, and I am a grandfather for a second time. That's why I
like it. Right. How was it?
It's great. And listen, he has more hair than everybody in this room. And, you know, as he gets older, he'll be able to look at the official records and say that, hey, my grandfather noticed me at the council. It's just as enjoyable the second time as it was the first.
Good, wonderful.
Everybody's good?
Everybody's great.
Amen. Councilman Valentine?
No comments.
Okay. Councilman Torres?
No comments for me.
Councilwoman Dweeba?
All right, I'll be quick. Could I get a copy of, I've asked for the recreation information on the Green Acre laws to receive donations. I know you're going to send it to Penny. Could I have a copy of that?
Sure.
And
the Green Acres doesn't regulate donations. It's the local public contracts law that regulates donations.
Well, whatever it is that specifies that they can get donations and that they can fundraise, or what they can't do. I still don't understand what they can and can't do. And then it was in the minutes, too, the copy of the sewer fee forecast. And
you know, we were going to talk about that tonight, but we got sidetracked. Natasha, and I think I emailed it too in one of my weekly reports.
No, that was the...
No. What her analysis was. In essence, it was, you know what, the way things are right now, the fact that the market's so volatile, she can only do 1 year at a time right now. She has no reason to say that there's any change for 2011 based on our numbers. She'll know after the budget's adopted and once next year's numbers come out. 2011.
Can we have that for tomorrow's meeting? Can I get a stop in the office and get a copy of it?
Yeah, can you resend that to me, because I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah. You're talking about the sewer EDU charges?
Yeah. In essence, she can only... She can only analyze it on a year-by-year basis. Unless you guys want to pay Stephanie Lewis.
Well, I was going to ask you, Stephanie Lewis?
Yeah. I mean, if we want to do it in-house, we can. But we have to, you know, like July, August, September, the prior years when we can start analyzing. Stephanie is different expertise altogether. She can project out.
She does.
So in lieu of spending all that money, we'll just do it on a year-by-year basis.
No.
Okay. Anything else, Mrs. Weaver?
And then Councilman Valentine and I were talking. Is there any way that we could have, like last year when the chief came in and gave a presentation, could we invite him again either? I think it was executive session. That we or the public. Remember, he came and talked to the public.
Public session.
Yeah, if he could, you know, come again, because I think there are like
just like
concerns.
a 2010.
Yeah, recap. You know,
the
year, and then you know the, what.
No problem.
He came last year for a specific reason.
Right.
Yeah. Do we have for a specific reason?
You can just ask them to come and say, can you attend a meeting to update the governing body on the police department?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be no different than any other department.
Yeah, or express concerns with, you know, like the coverage. And did you reach out to him about that street? And then, I wanted to thank Natasha, too, for everything with the budget presentation. I think this is a great thing that we have to do now for the best practices, and it's good to have the document. And that the numbers keep getting better. And also, I wanted, in your recap, I know it's public because we get it in the recap now, but I also wanted to thank all the contributions that went towards the Recreation Department. That NJAW donated the water to fill the pool again. Veolia, I never say that right, water, you know, donating the drainage pipe, and the Baseball Association donating their time to install the pipes, and the Sunshine Tree Service donating stuff, and whoever the resident was that donated the grill and refrigerator, I think it's great that everyone's pulling together to help out that department, so thanks. That's all I have.
Okay. All I have is, this past Monday, I read to the first graders again for the Mayor's Book Club, and I was able to hand out books to them, sponsored by the New Jersey League of Municipalities Education Foundation, sponsored by Verizon. All the kids were absolutely thrilled to get one of their favorite books. Some of the requirements have changed on it. Rather than having them have to read 1,000 books now, they have to do 500. And there's an author that's coming to Centenary, and I forget the date of that, but they're doing it in the middle of the week, which is a problem for the schools because they don't have money in their budget to bus the students down there. The other thing we have is Freeholder Everett Chamberlain has been invited to our April 19th meeting. As it stands right now, he will be attending that for questions from the council, and I would assume any questions from the audience also should they have anything for him. And that's all I have. Suggest we go back into executive session.
Just got one thing for Rich. If you get a chance, Rich, I need to get the contact information for Jersey American Water. I know you gave me his number, the gentleman in charge. I need his email because the email he gave me was incorrect. I'm trying to work a deal out in Jersey American Water to get 96 hydrant flags for virtually nothing donation, and he's telling me how to send him a letter and all that, and I have the letter written. So hopefully we can do that. And I did forward the information for the hydrant connection to the mayor for the new development of Regency or whatever it's called now. I forget.
Right.
So you're all set there.
Yeah, the Ryan Holmes.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question. Can I ask you?
Sure.
I don't know the process. After maybe Friday when Walker speaks, I will, but in executive session, after executive session happens, if a vote takes place, even if it's unanimous, is that allowed to be disclosed, or is that something you can't talk about?
If we hire somebody, I believe that that could be discussed, as I understand it.
No. You can discuss it. The formal vote must always take place in public.
Right. Right.
Council, any governing body has the right to deliberate in this issue in closed session, but any formal action they take, awarding a contract as an example, must be done in a public forum.
So we could do that deliberation tonight, come back into public and vote.
We could.
So I'd like to make that motion then.
Well, what, for the executive session?
No, to not the end the public session right now.
Oh, no, we don't discuss an executive session.
You could make the motion then.
To open the public? Okay, so just for any of the public that wants to stick around, maybe that's for their benefit.
Okay, so then I would accept the motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen. Make motion to adjourn. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor for adjournment?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you all.
Don't throw me under the bus either.
I know.